Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Krishna Katha Mela. And today we are very fortunate to have with us Her Grace Sukeshwari Mataji to enlighten on the topic of killing the Keshi demon and Vyomasura. Hare Krishna, Sukeshwari Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining this call and giving your very precious association and time and enlightening on the topic, Mataji. Before handing the call to you, I would like to hand over the call to Preeti Mataji to give a brief introduction about you, Mataji. Preeti Mataji, please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Shyam Supriya Mataji. It's my great honor and privilege to be introducing to everyone Her Grace Sukeshwari Mataji. Sukeshwari Mataji came to Krishna consciousness in the year 1998 during her college days, and she was connected to the Chaupati Temple in Bombay, India. Mataji soon got initiated by His Holiness Raghunath Swami Maharaj, and she also received her second initiation from him later. When she moved to the US, eventually she got connected with the ISV Temple, the famous ISKCON of Silicon Valley Temple, headed by His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. And she was responsible for founding the Sunday school program at ISV that has more than 135 students. She has also started the Bhagavata Seva Project, which is worldwide for the kids' education and which is an extension of the ISV Sunday school. She runs this program, and she has several students participating from all over the world in the Bhagavata Seva Project that is also coordinated and overseen by His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. Mataji has several other services in the ISV temple, like book distribution, deity dressing, cooking, giving wonderful classes and seminars in ISV, and so on. She is known for her very loving and enthusiastic participation in all the programs. She's the first one to be present in each and every program that you might be seeing that is hosted by ISV. She was also a regular speaker on Bhakti Sangha for many years during the Chaitanya Charitamrita sessions. Her classes would be on Fridays every week on Bhakti Sangha, and she had very nectarian realizations of Chaitanya Charitamrita that she would share with us. And she also helped Bhakti Sangha in various ways besides giving classes during the early stages of Bhakti Sangha. She continues to serve as a speaker from time to time as a backup speaker even now, and she helps all the devotees with her very, very sweet association and valuable inputs. We are very happy to have Mataji on the call. She is a very friendly, amazing person. So it'll be nice for us to hear from her today's class. And she will be speaking about the killing of Keshi demon and Vyomasura from the Krishna book. Thank you so much, Mataji. Over to you. You can take over. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prithivilasini Mataji. Devotees, Vaishnavas are very, very merciful. So I will try my best to get all the qualities that she has talked about. Thank you, Mataji, for your very kind words on me. Okay, so before I get started, I just want to mention that all of the devotees here are so learned and they know a lot. I'm just going to try my best to explain a little bit about how is Keshi demon killed? How is Vyomasura killed? And what do they exactly represent in our lives? But I would really kindly excuse me for all the mistakes I'm sure which I would make. And also, please add at the end of the class. So, the purpose of doing this class is so that I'll be able to understand a little bit more on what does Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam explain about these beautiful pastimes of Krishna? Om Agyanantimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadavakyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatan Sahagana Dalita శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ శ్రీ కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. ఓం నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమత్ రాధానాథ్ స్వామినితి నామినే. ఓం నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణి వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసవి గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. So today I will be covering, I'll have a few pictures and slides, but otherwise it's more of directly from Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book was written. So we will be looking at killing of Kesi and Vyomasura. This is from 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 37th chapter. And we will just start off with the first two slides are basically directly from Srimad Bhagavatam, which I will read and we'll try to explain that. So Shukadeva Goswami, we know the Srimad Bhagavatam was recited by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. Shukadeva Goswami said, the demon Kesi sent by Kamsa appeared in Raja as a great horse. Running with the speed of mind, he tore up the earth with his hooves. The hairs of his mane scattered the clouds and demigods' airplanes throughout the sky, and he terrified everyone present with his loud name. So Kamsa, we know, has sent so many demons to kill Krishna. And this Kesi demon was actually a horse. So he was such a great horse. He was really running in the speed of mind. So you can imagine that if I sit down and think in my mind, I'm going to be probably in India, in Vrindavan, I can be there in my mind. So that fast the mind speed is. So this particular horse is actually running at the speed of the mind. And his mane, you know, the back of his, the hair, was scattered up to the clouds and even reaching up to the place where demigods' airplanes were actually flying in the sky. So this was really terrifying and he was really loud. So you can imagine what kind of situation it would have been in Raja when many of us have actually seen this in Little Krishna, the cartoon, kind of giving us a little bit of idea about how he looked. But his height was so he was so tall and so huge. So it was very scary for all the devotees who lived in Raja. So seeing the Lord standing before him, Kesi ran toward him in extreme rage, his mouth gaping as if to swallow up the sky. Rushing with furious speed, the unconquerable and unapproachable forest demon tried to strike the lotus-eyed Lord with his two front legs. Well, Krishna probably looked very tiny in front of because he was a little boy at that time, right? So he was, he was standing in front of Krishna, but Kesi was very, very angry. He was in rage and he ran towards Krishna. While he was trying to open his mouth, he was gaping as if to swallow up the sky. He just wanted to try his best to just go ahead and swallow Krishna. Mm-hmm. His speed was really very, very fast. And it was, not like a usual horse that would be, And he tried to strike. The first thing that he tried to do is strike the lotus-eyed Lord with his front two legs. So he was holding, he was trying to push the Lord, with his two legs. But, the transcendental Lord dodged Kesi's blow and then his arms angrily seized the demon by legs. So Krishna caught him and whirled him around in the air and, contemptuously threw him the distance of 100, huge, and yojanas, it's mentioned in Bhagavatam, he just threw him out. Just like a Garuda would actually throw a snake, Garuda would actually take a snake and throw out. So Lord Krishna just stood there, and he was looking at the Kesi demon. Let's see what he's going to do. So he caught him and this picture was basically to show that actually Kesi was a horse, And then what happened? Like, you know, Keshi's teeth fell out. Just one push of Krishna. And Krishna was actually using his arm. So if you see in this picture, he's actually putting his arm into the demon's mouth, Keshi's mouth. And Keshi's teeth immediately fell out when it touched the Lord's arm, which to the demon felt as if it's a hot molten iron. You know, we can just imagine, oh, you know, when something is super hot and it's molten iron, that means really, really burning hot. Within Keshi's body, the Supreme Personality of God, his arm, Krishna's arm, they started expanding greatly. Like, you know, when a stomach is diseased, it starts swelling up, right? So similarly, this arm that went into the Keshi's mouth started increasing in size. And as Lord Krishna's expanding arm completely blocked Keshi's breathing, his legs kicked convulsively. No, he could not take that. It was so, so, so hot for Keshi. He couldn't breathe because Krishna's arm was actually increasing in size. It completely blocked Keshi from breathing. Because he couldn't breathe, his legs started, you know, just convulsively moving over and over again. His whole body was sweating and his eyes rolled around. And the demon then passed stool and fell on the ground dead. So that's it. It was a very simple one blow. That's it. And Krishna killed the Keshi demon. Keshi tried to come and attack Krishna and he killed. Now the mighty armed Krishna withdrew his arm from Keshi's body, which now appeared like a long Karkatika fruit. Now, without the least display of pride at having so effortlessly killed his enemy, the Lord accepted the demigod's worship in the form of flowers rained down from above. Now, Krishna was not very proud about anything. He's never proud of anything. He effortlessly killed the Keshi demon and he was accepting, you know, demigods were actually throwing flowers. They were just raining down flowers from up because this was such a big relief for Krishna as such. I mean, for all the Vrajavasis and all the demigods. Now, when we think that why do we read these stories? What is it that we have to apply in our lives? That's a very, very important part in when we look at these stories. The anarthas is what, I mean, the most important part. The story is wonderful that, you know, Krishna, our hero, actually killed this demon and amazing. But what anartha does Keshi represent? You know, I thought that this was the perfect topic that I picked because I am filled with this anartha and I'm not being humble. It's very seriously. Acharya says the most important anartha that Keshi represents is pride. Considering one better than others. Like, you know, I'm going to give you lots of examples in real life situations and how we can really curb this entire anartha within us. You know, many times, devotee can feel, oh, I am a better chanter because like I'm always waking up at Brahma Muhurta. Look at the other person. He doesn't come on the call or he's not actually chanting his rounds properly. Not too sure what's happening with him. Such kind of thoughts is actually the mentality of Keshi. People can have another, like in another, there are several examples. One is Nirjala. There are some devotees who can do Nirjala very easily and some devotees are not able to do. So a person who's doing Nirjala might think, oh, you know what? I am always able to do Nirjala. I don't understand why other devotees are not doing it. You know, you're supposed to do Nirjala on Nirjala day, right? So I'm very good. I mean, I'm better than others. If I'm speaking on a regular basis at, you know, different kinds of events and I'm preaching and talking and people really like me, then I might just start thinking, oh, wow, I'm such a great speaker. I just can't tell you. You know, people just love me and I'm just so great. I might be singing and people will appreciate me. Wow, you're such a great singer, you know. And then a person starts feeling, oh, wow, yeah, I'm kind of the best singer in the temple, you know. This kind of a thought is, you know, absolutely not fine. I might be a book distributor. I think in my head that, oh, wow, like, you know, because of me, so many books are getting distributed. I'm super good at it. I might have a charismatic personality. People might appreciate for that. And well, I might fit. I might feel super happy about it and super proud about it. But what do we learn from this? This particular mentality of Keshi, when he entered Raja, everybody was scared of him and Krishna kicked him and killed him and took him out of Raja. So this particular mentality is not fit for Raja. anybody who wants to enter Vraja should give up the KC mentality. Now, it's not fit for Vraja. And Krishna kicked out of him. And very important, our hearts are actually like Vrindavan. Every day we chant, we say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're trying to control our mind. We're trying to chant so that we will be able to listen, speak the mantra and listen to the mantra very nicely. So our heart is like Vrindavan. We have to kick that mentality of boasting totally out, because our heart is where Radharani Krishna, both of them sit on a beautiful throne. There's a very beautiful bhajan on that, where he says that Radharani and Krishna are sitting on a beautiful throne and they are enjoying the pastimes. Our heart is like Vrindavan, and they will enjoy the pastimes only when we do not have that attitude in our heart. If we have that attitude in our heart, we don't kick that mentality out, then Krishna and Radharani would not be there, right? Then it's not Vrindavan anymore. Now, if you see, Krishna put his hand into the mouth of Keshi Bhima, because we use our mouth to speak great about ourselves, right? We say, wow, you know, I'm doing so much. I know so much, and you know, I can do this, I can do that. Now, what should the mood in Vraja be? Like, we're all planning, our goal in life is to go back to Godhead and serve Krishna. Of course, the real thing is, we can always ask Krishna, whatever you want. If you want me to stay in the material world, then fine, I can stay in the material world and serve you. But the most important thing is, I will stay in the material world, I will serve you, but it should be in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant, not with any other thing, right? So what is the Vraja mood? Doesn't matter whether I'm really in so-called spiritual world, I can be in the mood of the spiritual world in the material world. In Vraja, the opposite mood is accepted. Like, for example, in spiritual world, you know, there are so many beautiful flowers. And I actually want to mention, very important, all these examples and things, I have heard it from my godbrother, His Grace Radhishyam Prabhu, and also my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So they're all examples that they have given. And also, I would like to mention that these are some of the wonderful, small tidbits that's given in Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are so many flowers in Vraja, in Vrindavan. They explain about how there are about 12 beautiful flowers. They're very fragrant, you know. They actually have so much of smell that you just enter that garden and you can smell it. All of these flowers, they think Tulasi is best. Tulsi Maya doesn't have so much of smell, but she's considered the best devotee of the Lord. So, you know, what does Tulasi mean? Tula means we do tulam, right? Like in Sanskrit, we say tula is balanced. And asi, there is no comparison to Tulasi. That's why she's called Tulasi. Now, they all bow down to her. All these flowers will just go say, oh, Tulsi Maharani ki jai. You know, they don't think how much fragrant they are and what beautiful looking flowers they are. They don't think like that. Let's think about the bumblebee. You know, in spiritual world, the birds actually, they coo. You think about a cuckoo, coo. Another bird would say, cuckoo, cuckoo. Another bird say, you know, they have different sounds that they make, but they're actually calling Radhe, Radhe, or Radhisham, Radhisham. This is what they're constantly chanting. And they have such beautiful voices, so beautiful voices. And then comes the bumblebee. You know, bumblebee is zzz, it's only doing all that noise. Now, in true sense, materially, what would you like to hear? You like to hear the beautiful singing of the birds, right? But when bumblebee comes and tries to chant and tries to praise Krishna, all the royal singing birds would wait for the bumblebee to sing. That's the mood in Vraja. Now, it's filled with living beings who considers others to be great. If we want to go to Vraja, our mood should be, others are great and I have no quality, you know. Now, KC mentality is, a few more examples in real life situation. I have done this in my past, so I know this very well. You know, when you were in college, I mean, you know, you might make so many people Krishna conscious. So many people. I mean, you might think you made so many people Krishna conscious. I might think I made so many people Krishna conscious. You know, there was a very nice example about this. You know, when we are playing basketball, we actually dribble, 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 and we pass on to everybody else. And there is actually one person who's actually the dunker. He actually put it into the basketball hoop. So, we're all trying to help Srila Prabhupada. We're trying to pass the ball, pass the ball. The real person who actually puts the ball into the basket is Srila Prabhupada. So everybody is only a little part of this whole thing. Now, very important, if you are not there, there'll be somebody else replaced. So the importance of one particular person is there only until unless he is connected to the parampara in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant. Now, a person can be actually thinking that, oh, wow, you know what? I went and preached to them. And because I told them to start chanting, they start chanting. And they are devotees now. So I made all of them their devotees. That's casing mentality. That's what is mentioned. It says that Prabhupada is the spiritual master of all of us. He's our world. He's our grand spiritual master. We are all his grand disciples. But Prabhupada did all that sacrifice. He came. He had heart attacks in the Jaladuta. He came to the U.S. And when Prabhupada was asked, you've done so much, Prabhupada kept telling, no, it's the mercy of my spiritual master. It's mercy of Mahaprabhu. And it's actually because of my disciples. Prabhupada never wanted to take even one drop. Because Prabhupada is such an amazing personality, such an amazing devotee. You know, so when we help somebody connect them to Krishna consciousness, we are like postman. The message was not created by us. The message was created by Prabhupada. We are giving that message. If somebody is actually chanting and becoming Krishna conscious, we cannot own it because we are just the postmaster. We just deliver. If suppose, just imagine, the postman comes and tells that he got money for us, okay? In the olden days, that's how money used to come, right? So he would get the money and he would give it to us. He would knock the door and he'll say, okay, this is the money. If the postman starts thinking the money is his, that's his ignorance, right? The money cannot be his because he's only giving that money. He's only connecting. So we have to be thankful that we are part of this because it purifies us. So a KC mentality would always be that, oh, I am the one who's delivering. But some people go to the higher extent in KC mentality where they say they become so possessive. They do not allow the person that they got to Krishna conscious to advance. In what sense? Because they hold them with their grip. They won't let them to get connected to other people, other senior devotees. They think that they own them. Now that is going to be super difficult because a person who is in that situation should really think that, seriously, am I the controller? Just imagine somebody gets us to Krishna consciousness or somebody, we get them to Krishna consciousness. I mean, we help them. Very important when I say that, Radhishyam Prabhu was saying that, he said that you have to think that I told him about it, but he has taken up the decision himself. If we were able to make people Krishna conscious, we would have been able to make every person contact with us Krishna conscious, right? How come only some people become? So that's very important. So one wants to boast about one's own achievement. I'm great. Everyone is not that. That's a KC mentality, and we should give up that mentality. Now, let me explain this. When I mention this, it's all for me and not for all few devotees. So I just want to make sure that, it's not for anybody else. It's just for me that I'm trying to understand this topic in that particular manner. I might be reading a lot of scriptures, and I might be preaching. I might have this false pride that can arise saying that I know so much of Shastra. You know, but this will spoil the sweetness of Rajana. When a person thinks he is better, he knows so much Shastra, he is doing so great, that totally spoils the sweetness of Raja Bhakti. If a person really wants to do Raja Bhakti, he should not have false pride. Now, KC mentality is, you know, when we pollute the environment by letting the bad, you know, when KC entered, everybody in Raja was disturbed. So this mentality disturbs Raja. Because in Raja, everybody is considering somebody else better than me. And that's the reason Krishna cannot let anybody enter Raja with the KC mentality. If somebody enters, because we saw that when KC entered, everybody was scared. They were calling Krishna, 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 Krishna. And they were all lost. They didn't know what to do. They were all lost. They were going hither and thither. They're like, oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So if one living entity enters Vraja with a KC mentality, the whole Vraja will be afraid, will be crying because they don't want that thing because they're very afraid. They will they will not please Krishna. So there's no way Krishna will let that person come. So how do we get rid of this? How do we actually give up this? It's very important when we actually say, Bhagavatam says a problem, it also says the solution. It says that very important is to enter the mode of Trinadapi Sunichena, Taroriva Sahishna, Amani Namana Dina Kitanistahari. Trinadapi Sunichena, you have to be humble than a blade of grass. Very difficult, very, very difficult to attain. Not very easy at all. But if we keep chanting nicely and pray to Krishna every single day, I pray to Krishna, Krishna, please take that Kesi out of my mind. Please take out Bhagasura from me. Please. So all of these anarthas, all of these demon killings are all, each demon represents one anartha. You know that. So all of these demons, we can make a list of all the anarthas, and every day in the morning we can read to Krishna, Krishna, please make sure all these anarthas are out of me. I'm trying to chant for you. Please, can you enter my heart and cleanse it? Because I am not able to do it. It's only with Krishna's mercy we'll be able to get rid of it. So we might have, so many thoughts. We cannot start off. We have to start off somewhere. You know, when the room is super, super dirty, we have to start in one corner. So it's okay. It will take years for us to really achieve what we are supposed to achieve. So this is very important. We can at least get started with point zero, point one. From zero, we start with point one, point two. We keep going. At some point, Krishna will see the sincerity. We will not be able to do anything. Krishna will see the sincerity and we will take it out. You know, Krishna says in Adi Purana, he says, whoever is a devotee of my servant is my devotee. You know, not someone who's my, you know, he says that a servant of the servant of the servant is actually my devotee, not somebody who says he's my devotee. So he gives a very nice example. There's a very nice example. He loves Yudhishthira Maharaj so much. Arjuna was actually serving Yudhishthira Maharaj in the Mahabharata war. Krishna becomes Arjuna's servant because he loves Yudhishthira so much. Shiva also has one instance when he's actually talking to Parvati and he says, the best to worship in the world is Vishnu worship. But better than worshipping Vishnu is worshipping his devotees, because Krishna is going to be so much more pleased. In this context, I was just thinking about a very, very nice thing. When Ramanujacharya was there, he used to have a disciple. And the disciple is actually talking to Varadaraja Swami. Now, we all know that there is a Kanchipuram in Tamil Nadu. In Kanchipuram, what they do is they have this beautiful deity of Varadaraja Swami. Just 1,000 years ago, this deity used to talk. Well, we've heard so many of this, right? Like Gopal walked, to do Sakshi. So like that, he used to talk. So one day, this devotee just asked Varadaraja Swami, do you think I will go back home, back to Godhead? And he says, yes. So Ramanujacharya gets to know this and he's super happy. He's super happy. Just imagine what is the level of Ramanujacharya. He's an acharya. He is such an amazing devotee. But he says that because I'm connected to this particular devotee who is going back to Godhead as a spiritual master, I'm very happy. I will also get a chance. So so much humility. So a person has to be a servant of the servant of the servant, right? So finding fault in themselves. So what happens is when we start chanting very nicely, when we pray to Krishna, please help me, in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant, with a straw in our mouth. What does a straw in our mouth mean actually? That means we are super humble. We are Trinadapi Sunichena, Taroriva Sahishna. I have to be extremely tolerant, like a tree. Tree doesn't matter how much of rain happens, how much of sun, it just stands there. So much tolerance. And Amani Namana Dina Ketani Sahari. I'm not expecting any, you know, I want to give respect to everybody and I'm not expecting anything in return. I mean, this has to be genuinely from the heart. How do we achieve it? Every day chanting, 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 chanting. Then slowly, slowly what happens is when you're finding faults in, they start finding faults, that such a devotee would start finding faults in themselves. It's my anartha, that's why I'm fault finding in others. If I didn't have that fault, I wouldn't be thinking of somebody else. Oh, that person is trying to cheat. Oh, because I have the cheating propensity. Oh, that person is so proud because I feel it. They are doing proud. They're pride because I have that pride in me. So this is so important. So how to get rid of the KC mentality is to absolutely chant wonderful rounds and pray to Krishna. That's very, very important. Now, another very important part of this, before we almost ended with a case in the start of Vyomasura, a person who is a Vaishnav should not be considered based on which caste he belongs to. Because once he becomes a Vaishnav, doesn't matter whether he was born in a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he is a Vaishnav. So as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? Chaturvarnya maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasha. He has not divided the chaturvarnya, the four varnas are divided as per the guna. It's not according to the birthright. So anybody who is in any part, you know, Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. He became our Namacharya, right? So it doesn't matter what family they are born in. So a person should not talk about that. So the KC mentality, sometimes people would say that, oh, he's actually a Shudra, you know. Well, the person should not be doing that because he's going to have a fall down by just saying that. Because it doesn't matter whether he is a Shudra or a Brahmana, he's a Vaishnava today. You know, even person who is born in a Brahmana family might actually act like a Shudra, who knows? So anyone who knows the Krishna Tattva, as per Mahaprabhu, is considered very, very important as a guru. So this is very important. So Mahaprabhu doesn't look at the differentiation. So no other devotee should look at the differentiation. Another thing is, oh, I'm always right. I know my best. And I don't think anywhere else can do this. You know, like I made this beautiful gulab jamun, you know, the best gulab jamun in the world. I don't think anybody else in the temple can make it. Such kind of a mentality. And as I said, the only way we can get the whole thing, rid of everything, is just by chanting in the mood of a servant of the servant and thinking oneself to be humble than a blade of grass, tolerant than a tree, and expecting nothing in return and always, always, always glorifying others. So we'll move on to the next one, that is actually Vyomasura. So Vyomasura is another demon. And we'll also look at a simple thing on who does Vyomasura represent as well. So as soon as this is, these are some of the demons that are almost towards the end of all the demon killing actually. So between a killing of Keshi and Vyomasura, Narada actually comes and talks to Krishna. You know, they have a wonderful conversation. I won't go more in detail in the conversation because of time. But he says that he actually, Narada is such a pure devotee. He actually predicts what's going to happen before, after this. So he literally gives a summary of what all is going to happen later in the chapters. So let's go into Vyomasura. Now, one day the cowherd boys, while grazing their animals on the mountain slopes, played the game of stealing and hiding, acting out the roles of rival thieves and herders. In that game, O king, some acted as thieves, others as shepherds, and others as sheep. They played their game happily without fear of danger. A powerful magician named Vyoma, son of the demon Maya, then appeared on the scene in the guise of a cowherd boy. Pretending to join the game as a thief, he proceeded to steal most of the cowherd boys who were acting as sheep. Gradually, the great demon abducted more and more of the cowherd boys and cast them into a mountain cave, which he sealed shut with the boulder. Finally, only four or five boys acting as sheep remained in the game. So, I mean, I actually love the little Krishna thing, which I actually sometimes show to the kids also at Sunday school. It's very easy to, probably everybody has watched this on that. So the cowherd boys are all busy playing. And one of the cowherd boys says, how would we actually play this game? So there is a herd. That means there are some people who are herding the sheep. There are some of the kids who are acting as sheep. And, there are some people who are thieves. They're actually taking those sheep away. Now, very importantly, Vyoma actually realizes, okay, he finds out who is Krishna. And he sees, okay, I'm just going to make sure I'm going to take away all the boys. And Krishna is going to come in looking for him. And I can kill him. That's his plan. So he also comes as a little cowherd boy. So Vyomasura comes as a little cowherd boy. He pretends to join the game as a thief. Now, as a thief, he starts herding the boys. So, you know, like herding the sheep. So the cowherd boys who acted as sheep, he starts taking them slowly outside, 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 and takes them into a cave. He starts doing this for some, then many, many more. And then let's see what happens. So Lord Krishna, who shelters all saintly devotees, understood perfectly well what Vyomasura was doing. Just as a lion grabs a wolf, Krishna forcefully seized the demon as he was taking away more cowherd boys. So he knew, oh, okay, you know what? Vyomasura, this little boy, is actually the demon. So he actually caught hold of him. the demon, as soon as Krishna held him, the demon changed into his original form, as big and powerful as a great mountain. But try as he might to free himself, he could not do so. Krishna did not let him go, having lost his strength from being held in Lord's height in him. Lord Achyuta clutched Vyomasara between his arms and threw him to the ground. Then, while the demigods in the heaven looked on, Krishna killed him in the same way that one kills a sacrificial animal. Krishna then smashed the boulder blocking the cave's entrance and led the trapped boys to safety. Thereafter, as the demigods in the cowherd sang his glories, he returned to his cowherd village, Gokula. So Vyomasura acted like a thief. He took all of those boys who acted as cowherd boys into a big cave. And Krishna got to know, he caught hold of him, very tight grip. Vyoma was trying to get out of it so much, but he couldn't. You know, and then Vyoma clutched him. He put him between his arms and threw him to the ground. Then while the demigods in the heaven looked, Krishna actually killed him the same way a person actually kills a sacrificial animal. So Krishna kills Vyomasura literally. So he protects his devotees. Now Krishna then smashed the boulder blocking them. So the cave had such a big, big stone. A big stone is called a boulder, right? So he actually punched it and it opened up and he actually freed all the boys who were there. And everybody was dancing and singing and they went back to their village. Now, this was a very simple story. And when you look at what is the anartha that Vyomasura shows, that's very important. Vyomasura actually shows dishonesty. Dishonesty is one. And my Guru Maharaj, when he was giving the class, he was mentioning Vyomasura also represents our mind. Wow. Now, this material world is like a cave, right? In this particular situation, we consider this cave into which Vyomasura put all the boys is like the material world. Our mind in this world can cheat us and plunge us into this material world. Mind is considered the greatest non-devotee. Actually, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, until unless we totally surrender to Krishna, Savai Manah Krishna Padaravindaya, we think that, oh, Krishna, you are everything. I am just surrendering to you, right? So we were all in the spiritual world. We were playing with Krishna like exactly like the cowherd boys. From there, we got picked up because of our own mind. And we were put into the cave of material world. Now, cowherd boys got Krishna. How did they get Krishna? They were able to get Krishna because they were chanting Krishna's name over and over again. Over and over again. They were saying, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. They were inside the cave and they were screaming. They were really, really chanting with their heart and soul. They were calling for Krishna. Krishna, I'm in difficulty. Please pick me up. Please take me out of this place. And then Krishna came, he banged the boulder of the cave and he took the boys out. Similarly, Krishna comes to this material world. Now we all know that he just came 5,000 years ago. He comes one day, every day of Brahman. We're very lucky that he just recently came 5,000 years ago. And after him came the merciful Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu gave us the Hare Krishna Mahamantra so that we will be able to very, very strongly every single day pray to Krishna and have the sincere desire to serve him. Then Krishna will pick us up. Now, very important, when Krishna was there, there were some devotees, right? He took all of them back to God. What about people who come after Krishna leaves? He left the Srimad Bhagavatam for us. So when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be able to understand, oh, this is what Krishna is telling us. Krishna is telling us, don't do these anarthas. Krishna is telling us, oh, you're supposed to do like this. You have to chant the name. You have to read the Shastra. Now mind, mind is such a, we all have we have subtle body. We have the gross body that we are actually able to see, right? We also have subtle body. Subtle body is basically the mind, intelligence, and false ego. Our real ego, false ego. What does false ego mean? False ego means that I'm thinking I am the center of the whole universe. I am great. The real ego is I'm actually an eternal servant of Krishna. An eternal servant of Krishna is someone who doesn't think himself to be anything else but an eternal servant of Krishna. He just thinks his only job is to serve Krishna. That is real ego. Now, mind is always giving us trouble. And how do we control our mind? We just have to chant So mantra, manas, manah iti trayate, iti mantra. So mind is, man means mind, and trayate means to relieve the mind from stress. So mantra is something that relieves your mind from all kinds of stress. So when you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra every single day, you will be able to get rid of all kinds of this mind's concoction. You know, mind creates stories. It will show you a horror movie. You don't have to listen to the mind because you are not the mind. You are actually independent of the mind. Mind is just, what is mind then? Mind just gives you the thoughts. It gives you the thoughts. You can decide whether you want to ponder over the thoughts or not. It gives you good thoughts. It gives you bad thoughts. It's your choice which thought you take. If you take the good thoughts, well, you are on the right track. If you take the bad thoughts, well, you're on the wrong track. But most important is, we're not going to be pro when we start chanting that we are able to control our mind. But Krishna is there with us. When we chant and ask Krishna, please, Krishna, I am in difficulty. Please help me. Krishna will help us. So we will be able to get rid of all these kinds of anarthas very, very easily. Now, when Krishna and the intelligence, how do we purify our intelligence? Just by reading Shastra. Every single day, we have to read Shastra. We have to make our intelligence so sharpened that at any point of time, when my mind says something terrible, my intelligence can actually say, oh, excuse me, no, not like that. This is the thing, because I read that in Bhagavad Gita. So a person who is really, really wants to control the mind should chant the mantra, should actually read the Shastra so that their mind is very, very, their intelligence is very sharpened, and their mind will actually give only the right thoughts. That's very important. Now, the other part is dishonesty. Now, Vyomasura also represents dishonesty. What is really dishonesty? Dishonesty is anything that we go against Krishna and do, right? I have some wonderful dishonesty stories where actually it's okay to be dishonest in such situations. But Vyomasura is dishonesty against Krishna. Very important. Now in Mahabharata war, we know that Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually fighting. And he was fighting in, against the Kuru dynasty. I mean, against the Kauravas. Arjuna was with Krishna, but Krishna tells Yudhishthira, it's very difficult to defeat your Dronacharya. So we have to get Dronacharya out. So Yudhishthira thinks that, let me tell you, I don't think I can tell the lie. He says, you have to tell his son Ashwatthama is dead. So he says, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. Then he says, okay, there was one elephant who was named Ashwatthama. He died. You can tell that, right? He says, yes, I can tell that. Because really Ashwatthama, there was one elephant named Ashwatthama was also dead. So he says, Ashwatthama hataha kunjara. So kunjaraha, when kunjaraha word came, Krishna blew the conch.
Mataji, your voice is breaking, Mataji.
Oh.
We could not hear in between the Ashwatthama story, the elephant story. It was breaking.
Okay.
I can hear Mataji clearly.
Good.
Yes, it is clear for us too.
Okay, maybe my problem. Sorry, Mataji. Sorry.
No, Mataji. So, I'll just say that again. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually, fighting against the Kauravas, right? Yudhishthira Maharaj was told by Krishna that it's very difficult to defeat Dronacharya. So, we have to take him out. So, what we are going to do is you're going to say that Ashwatthama is dead. So, of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj is never going to lie to anybody. So he says, okay, fine. There is one elephant called Ashwatthama is also dead. So you can say Ashwatthama hataha kunjaraha. So an elephant is dead. So it doesn't matter, right? So he says that kunjaraha is an elephant. And you can say that. So Yudhishthira Maharaj agrees that. And he says, so actually before Yudhishthira Maharaj says, Bhima also says Ashwatthama hataha. Dronacharya hears it and he doesn't consider it important because he knows Bhima can actually lie. But when Yudhishthira Maharaj said, he knows Yudhishthira Maharaj never lies. Ashwatthama hataha, when he said the word kunjaraha, Krishna blew the conch shell. So Dronacharya heard only Ashwatthama hataha. He didn't hear the kunjaraha. So in one sense, Yudhishthira Maharaj never lied. But one important thing, he did not follow what Krishna told him. So till then, Yudhishthira Maharaj was such an elevated soul that his chariot would never touch the ground, know, it would always fly. But as soon as he did that, his chariot came down. So many people, you know, so many commentaries, other people, they said, not non-Vaishnava acharyas, they said that, oh, because he lied, his chariot came down. But our Vaishnava acharya said that he did not lie, actually. He said, but his chariot came down because he did not follow Krishna. So things that you want to do as a part for anything that you want to do for Krishna, that is not dishonesty. You just imagine in this particular situation, Kauravas did so much bad to the Pandavas. There is no way you can do everything right and win over. So that was totally fine because Krishna is telling us, and just go ahead and do it. Now, just imagine, you know, let's think a normal scenario. Let's think that you're actually in your house and there is a cow that ran behind into your backyard. And there was one person who's looking for the cow to kill the cow. If you tell where the cow is, that person is going to go back and kill the cow. So for that, you're going to tell him, sorry, I didn't see the cow. I think maybe he went that side. And that person goes away. So you have saved the cow from dying. That dishonesty is okay. So dishonesty, which is in the service of Krishna, is okay. But anything that is not in the service of Krishna is not okay. So this is very important. So that we have to do everything that we are doing as a service to Krishna. So there are situations that you would say, oh, excuse me, I am totally a Harishchandra. I'm not going to say any lie. No. In some situations, like you don't want the cow to be killed. Of course, you should say lie because you want to protect the cow from being killed. You will be part of that killing of the cow, right? So, I just see the time. I'm probably about time. I'm so sorry. So, I'll conclude here. So, the two demons that we did today was Keshi and Vyomasura. Keshi, we saw the beautiful pastime of how Keshi demon was killed. And we did look at what does Keshi represent. Now, Keshi represents thinking a person when he thinks on very pride. He thinks that I am better than somebody else. That is Keshi mentality. And such Keshi mentality cannot enter Vraja. So we have to get rid of it. Anybody who is serious in their spiritual life has to get rid of it. And the other one that we looked at is Vyomasura. Vyomasura represents dishonesty. That is dishonesty that is not, that is like I am being dishonest to make sure I am happy. When I'm dishonest to make Krishna happy, that's okay. And Vyomasura also represents the mind. So we have to make sure that we chant. So what was the most important solution to get rid of both these anarthas is to chant in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant. And another thing is you have to chant the Maha Mantra every single day and pray to Krishna. Krishna, please help me get rid of all these anarthas. So somehow or the other, I will be able to serve you in the most purified. I'd like to stop there. Thank you all so much. I'd like to thank Vithi Vilasini Mataji for giving me this service. And please correct me and please add. I'm sure so many of you know so much more about these beautiful pastimes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sukeshwari Mataji, for this wonderful class.
I like all the ones.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, you are talking, but we cannot hear you, Mataji.
That really struck me today was during the Keshi mentality that you were describing. You were describing about how his mentality was disturbing the entire environment of Vrindavan. I thought that was amazing, amazing, amazing. It was really nice because if we develop that Keshi mentality, definitely we are disturbing our entire environment, the environment of devotees, the environment of everyone around us, not only devotees, even take home for me. Thank you so much, Mataji. Definitely, you know, hope to work on these anarthas as you very nicely described. Both the anarthas are so rampant in my heart. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Yeah, I also, when I heard that, I was like so totally taken aback. I was like, wow, you know, I will not fit there because I'm going to cause a concern there. Thank you, Aataji. Hi, Bob Praneshwari. Aataji, so nice to
meet
you.
Hi, Aataji.
Yeah, yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead. No, finish. Finish, Aataji. Finish.
Okay, no, exactly the point that, you know, one side is anartha, but the other side is you're causing a concern to others, right? So now, rather than, you know, yes, I have to curb my anartha, but before that, let me solve it for others, right? So that kind of, I thought, is so important. It makes the anartha so much heavier because it's affecting so many people. So that was brilliant, Mataji. Thank you so much for that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Mataji. Beautiful class. I actually came in near the end, but where I came in was so appropriate. I have to go back and listen to the beginning, but when you were talking about Ramanujacharya, you were talking about his humility, and he said how, that since that devotee is so close to Varadaraja, maybe I will be able to also go. It quickly reminded me of the pastime of Dhruva in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, you know, it says in there, you know, Dhruva asks, has my mother also, where's my mother? Has she gone? And then the Vishnudutas show him his mother, that she's also coming. And Prabhupada writes that because of his association, that his mother was able to come also. And Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, hopefully, because of the purity of my devotees, that I will also be able to go to the spiritual world. I mean, what humility. A pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada saying, because of my pure devotee, because of my disciple, maybe I can go. I mean, that just immediately sticks to me, like Prabhupada, the epitomizer. So he's a beautiful example of humility for such a great devotee. Thank you very much, Mataji. I'll go back and listen to the dream, but yes, all these are not questions. They just really pinpoint to us how important it is to really self-analysis and studying what we have, worrying about ourselves. Like you said, you see that pride in that person because it's in yourself, right? So in that way, so many things that we have to really dig deep and really work on ourselves. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. It's good
Thank
to see
you. Thank you, Mataji. That's a beautiful thing. I actually, that's so apt that Prabhupada says that in the purport. Amazing. Tearful, because then you think that where in this, which corner did I think I was better, in what sense, you know? So beautiful. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Shukeshwari Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Very, very wonderful class, Mataji. I have two questions from your class, Mataji. So while we are discussing about dishonesty, about Vyomasura, so, like, we have this kind of giving answers in a diplomatic way. So, is it like the same, like, dishonest, or how to draw a line between giving diplomatic answers and dishonesty, Mataji? How to make a difference between both of these two?
Can you give me an example, Mataji? Maybe an example of that, what diplomatic answer is?
For example, in case of giving some kind of in case of kids, when we take the kids case, so we should be honest with them, but for like providing something like giving their what we can say, like for example, when I take my case, so I have promised my kid to buy some kind of books for her to read. But for some reasons, I cannot buy her. But I give some kind of diplomatic answer. I cannot be dishonest with her. But I don't want to tell that because of this, I cannot. But I want to give some kind of diplomatic answers. So is it like the how to tell we are not dishonest, but how to prove that these are the... There is some like kind of, we have to draw a line between this being diplomatic and giving dishonest, being dishonest. How to make a difference, Mataji?
It will totally depend on the situation, Mataji. Like, for example, the child asks for a book, which is all good. You know, you want to make sure that she has read all the books. If she has read all the books, then you can say that it's very expensive to buy every day one book. right? Then you can go to the library and get books. So rather than saying no for books, especially, you can always look for other options. You know, if it's the cost that is not like, you know, buying so many books, or maybe she's a person who's collecting books but not reading on a regular basis, then you can say, how about you finish the book rather than getting everything for the children, right? I don't know if I'm getting it right, Mataji.
Yeah, that is one way, Mataji. That is one way. And the other way is like, we are not totally accepting our fault, but we want to give some kind of diplomatic answers at the present situation.
Oh, you should accept your fault even with your children in one sense, because you are a model to them. When you make a mistake and you say, I'm so sorry, I think this time, like for example, sometimes you get upset and you shout at kids, right? And then you can go back and tell, you know, at that moment, you should not have done that. And I also should not have done that because I made a mistake by screaming at you, which is what not appropriate. We're all not perfect beings, right, anyway. But you can surely go to ask them, like, can you please not do that again? See, Amma got very angry and then that's why I shouted at you. But it was my mistake. Next time I will try my best not to shout. You should accept, you could also say sorry to your children, because in one sense, it's the model that you're creating. Tomorrow when they make a mistake, they will actually come and say sorry and they will accept that. It's not that I'm the only one who's making mistakes in my house. My parents also can make mistakes. I mean, this is something I can use for my parenting. I very strongly think that kids should know that we are also imperfect. We're not perfect beings all the time. When you show that, you know, we are always doing the right thing. If you make a mistake, yeah, rather than being diplomatic, oh yeah, I shouted at this is because your mistake. You should not be doing this. Rather than I could go ahead and tell them that, oh, you know what? Actually, yeah, what you did is a mistake because of that I got angry. But then I also should not have lost mine. I'm going to work on it. So when you work on it, they will see, oh, wow, my mom is also working on it and I can also work on it. If we are giving diplomatic answers and not direct answers, then they will also take it up, right? But Mataji, I don't know exact situation that you're talking about. I'm just giving you a hypothetical situation. Maybe, if there's any exact situation, I don't know if I answered the question.
Yes, Mataji. It is helping, Mataji. It is helping. But in one, this is like... Being a role model, we should accept our faults and we should openly tell our things from whatever we have from our side. I get it, Mataji. But when we come to this exactly the same case, so in our, not in Krishna consciousness, but in scriptures, it says that we should not beg forgiveness from the people who are smaller than us. Like in Telugu, we say that
Mataji. You don't ask forgiveness. But you can say that you made a mistake. No. So you cannot ask them, can you please excuse me for my mistake? No, that's not what you're asking. You can tell them that, I'm sorry, I think I should not have thought it. Okay. There's practically, Mataji, we also make mistakes, right? It's not that only our children make mistakes. It's okay to tell them that I think I should have been careful about it. We make a mistake and I'm cooking. Oh, is that too spicy? Oh, I think I put a little bit of this. Oh, I'm so sorry. I should be very careful next time. So that is nothing wrong, I feel. I would like others to answer as well. To me, I just very strongly feel that you should not be, you know, especially when kids grow up seeing that it is okay to make mistakes. The world, none of the human beings are perfect. Then they will try out new things. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's very important that parents do show them the path. You know? It's not that everything that we do is perfect anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mataji. Yes, got it. Yeah, it is helpful, Mataji. Thank you. And my other question is, Mataji, as you said, the story of elephant and everything, Ashwatthama. So I got to remember that because of this a small mistake of... Dharmaraj, he went to hell for a minute. Is it true, Mataji? I heard somewhere or read somewhere, because he did not accept the order of Krishna, and for this mistake he went to hell for a minute.
Mataji, I have also heard, but I don't have a Shastra Praman, so I cannot confirm.
Mataji, it's okay to add. If you're okay.
Please,
yeah, it is there in Prabhupada's purport. He talks about how he had a vision of the hellish planet because he disobeyed Krishna's order. It is there in one of Prabhupada's purports. We can send it probably. Yeah, I think it is there in the Gajendra Moksha section, if I'm not wrong. You can, it is in one of the purports. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Prithvi Lasmanaji, please send it so that, you know, we'll have the Shastra Praman for that. Thank you,
Prithvi Lasmi Mataji. Thank you, Sukeshwari Mataji, for clarifying my doubt, being diplomatic and being dishonest. Very nice, elaborate.
Yeah, I think it would be best for us not to be diplomatic with our own children, because you know, if there is a concern, but I would also say it's not that you should be directly honest in situations. Again, you have to really look at the test. Every situation is different. If you're going to tell something and your child is old, actually going to cry and make a big deal about it, they're very emotionally very low, and you know your child best. So you know when you have to be, you don't have to be untruthful, but you can hold the truth back. You don't have to tell them lies, but you can hold the truth. That is okay.
Yeah, nice, Mataji, nice. Helpful, Mataji. Thank you so much. So, dear devotees, so please go ahead with all your realizations for Mataji and any questions for Mataji.
There are two people, Mataji, who have raised their hand here.
Yes, Mataji. So we have Sukha Mataji. Okay, Sukhasagari Mataji. Please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanvarpunam. Such a beautiful class, Mataji. It was, I mean, it was very potent. That's the word I would like to use. It just shows your sadhana, Mataji. And in the sense, I mean that it really touched my heart, the class. And so many lessons for me also personally to take away. And especially the point where you were saying that sometimes we get to the point of possessiveness about things, like an anartha. And I was just thinking that sometimes it does happen to devotees too, that they get very possessive about their services. I've seen that this has... you know, in my practical situation, this has created a lot of problems, because devotees find it very difficult to let go of their services, and they are so attached to their services, Mataji, that this has created like quite a few problems in our temple too, I've seen at times. So how do, and also in some places, the acharyas, they say that, you know, laulyam is something we should hanker for. That greed, you know, intense greed to actually get Krishna Prema. And once, you know, there was this big Abhisheka ceremony in the temple, and they did that like once in a lifetime, I think, if I'm not wrong. Like our deities, Radha, Shishi Radha Nil Madhava, are like about 6 or 7 feet tall. And they did like Maha Abhisheka of the deities, I mean, which is like a very, very grand occasion, very, very grand occasion. And I mean, people were just thronging to take darshan, because I think it was once in 25 or 30 years that they did that Mahabhishek. Hi, Krishna Mataji, can you hear me?
Sorry, Mataji, I just heard till Neela Madhava. After that, I didn't hear him. So sorry, I think my internet had a problem. Can you repeat after Neela Madhava? You're giving,
Yes, Mataji. I'll just cut it short. Maybe others have questions. There was this Maha Abhishek ceremony. And so there were a lot of devotees, like you can imagine, because our deities are like 7 feet tall almost. And you can imagine Maha Abhishek for them. It's a very grand occasion. And so, you know, like at that time, one very senior Prabhupada, disciple Mataji, like devotees were literally pushing, you know, to go forward and get darshan and things like that. And then the Mataji, I was like just standing there in the back, and then the Mataji came and told me that you should have the greed, you know, like in occasions like this, you should push forward and go and see the deities and, you know, get the darshan like that. So for a moment, I was like, wow, that's a real great quality that I need to imbibe. But then I also got thinking that our, you know, our philosophy also states that we, you know, we take the back seat and we push other devotees in service and we remain in the background. So, you know, like it was a little conflicting, this, and also the other part, which I mentioned to you, like the attachment to our services. I've seen it gives a lot of problems among devotees. I would love to hear your thoughts, Mataji, on this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sukhasagari Mataji, for your kind words. I just repeated directly from Radhishyam Prabhu's class and my Guru Maharaj and Sivas Radhanath Swami Maharaj's class. So, I mean, I'm just trying to imbibe it in myself. So thank you, Mataji. The possessiveness that I was talking about in the class was actually about a devotee when he becomes proud and he thinks that I got this person to Krishna consciousness. So I own him and I can let him associate with other senior disciples. That kind of thought, I mean, that kind of example was I was talking about. But I totally get what you're saying. Your question is about how people become very possessive of what they want. The first part that I was going to think about is when you have that huge, abhishek, pushing others and going in front probably is not what scriptures, any senior devotee would do. If anybody is going ahead, you can always stand on the back and watch the abhishek from the back. Even if we didn't get a chance to actually pour the abhishek, staying back would be the best, I think, because fighting, pushing with others and going in front, Krishna is actually going to look at you who is standing on the back and you will qualify. You know, where most important is every action that I do here as a devotee is actually every single moment is actually Krishna is observing us every single moment. And he will choose us, whether we are capable, we are okay to be in the spiritual world or not. Because in spiritual world, nobody pushes each other. They will actually lead way and they will ask you to go ahead. You know, that is what. But it's very difficult for us to imbibe that in any place because we're all starting. You know, we're all we're all growing to be at the level of a Mahabhagavata. I mean, a level of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Mahabharata. So we will have that. Now, very important thing is, one important thing in this, that Keshi mentality that can come in, it can come in me, is when I'm standing on the back, I might think, wow, such a great devotee I am. I'm not pushing anybody. I'm letting everybody go ahead. Well, that also Krishna will not like it because when I stay back, genuinely in my heart, I should feel that they have the greed, let them go. I want to stand here and pray to Krishna. So someday I get the greed. So I love what you said, that you are just praying that someday I also want to get the greed. But on the other side, you also want to be careful that you don't push somebody and go ahead. Because that is total material mentality. In the spiritual world, it's you first, you better. It's not that I first and I am better. So it's exactly opposite, right? We read from the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Udhimulam Adashatam Ashwatam Rahuradhyam. So everything that the spiritual world is there, and everything that is reflected in the water is exactly opposite. So what is most important there is least important there. So yeah, I would surely say that standing back and watching and making sure you don't make offenses, that's so much important when you're actually seeing the deities. Deities will actually be very happy. They are not hard. They know exactly what they're doing. So that's one thing that I would say, Mataji. And what was the other one that you said? I quickly forgot. Oh, possessive of this service.
Yes,
possessive of the service. Everybody should be possessive. I mean, should be happy doing the service, but not to such an extent that it causes inconvenience to somebody else. If somebody is getting inconvenienced, then we're not going the right track. several times when we are actually doing our services, several people will actually find faults. They'll tell you, this is not good. This is not good. This is not the way you're supposed to do. This is my service. This is not your service. This is so I think it's just, you know, one important thing that I always remember, which my Guru Maharaj mentioned in class, it was very nice. He said that when a person is actually having a shower, we don't say that person is dirty. So everybody who's initiated, who's chanting and who's serious in Krishna consciousness might show these qualities. But to me, I should always think that I should never consider them as fault. But if it's affecting my service, then maybe I can talk to a senior devotee and connect and see, is there a way that I can do some other service if it's really causing me so much. Like for some time, I know there is one devotee who came and told me that she cannot do that service because the other devotees are offending her over and over and over again. And she's always thinking bad about the devotee. This is better you move to another other service because your service doesn't matter what you're doing. What really matters is what you're thinking about other devotee. It's going to cause, crush your bhakti tatva bij in such a way that you're not going to be existing. So don't find fault. Just keep moving on. If you think some set of, because you cannot go along 100% with every devotee, every living entity in this material world. Because we all have anarthas and we are all in the same boat. We're all having a bath. So we should not think that the other person has it. So somebody is too possessive and it's causing a concern to you, Mataji, personally, I think maybe you can step back and think that whether I should really do the service, thinking about, oh, why they are doing this and things like that. So maybe that would be a better option, Mataji. I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you, Mataji. You're saying that we should take a back step and,
I don't know what exactly is the situation, Mataji, because I didn't hear it. You want to share the exact situation?
There is no particular situation, Mataji. It's just that, sometimes when there are new devotees and, maybe, for example, other devotees who are doing a particular service. And then a new devotee comes up and for some reason, they are assigned that service. So I see that there is some kind of a hesitancy when the other devotee is kind of handing over the service to the other person, they don't want to give away their services. You know what I mean? I don't know if you've encountered this, but this I've seen a lot in our, in my.
So somebody who is already doing a service, sorry, I just want to understand. Yeah. Somebody who's already doing a service has to give that service to somebody who's new.
Yeah.
Why would they give their service to somebody, Mataji?
For whatever reasons, Mataji. The management wants the new person to take up some services and they want the other person to move on to something else. There's so many reasons.
That's very difficult, actually. That's a very difficult thing for anybody to do.
Yeah.
So I would say that, they can probably help and be a part of that service, if that's possible. Yeah, but whatever management says, we have to probably explain it nicely to the person who is moving also, who is very possessive about it also. Because in the beginning, we are all, when we start off, Mataji, we have all the anarthas within us. It takes time. For a senior devotee, you go tell them who has been doing chanting for a lot of years, and then you go tell them, Mataji, can you change the service? For that person, it will be easy to change. When somebody is just a few years into service and very attached to service, they just want to only make garlands to the devotees, okay? And then you say, Mataji, can you go help clean the kitchen? They're not even ready probably at that moment. I think that, yes, it is very high to expect somebody who have just started chanting to say that, okay, you have to give up your service. If that is the situation, then probably you should really nicely talk to that person and tell that, every service is saying, and explain to that person nicely, because he should not feel that... because sometimes people will go away because you take away their service. You don't want anybody who has come to Prabhupada moment to go away because of any situation.
Mataji, I'm not sure if I'm explaining right, but this is even when old seasoned devotees, if they are not only giving up, don't even go to the scenario of giving up, sharing the service, getting somebody to give you a hand in it. Even then, it is the problem. I'm not saying just with new devotees, which is understandable, they get insecure or whatever. But this is more rampant even in, devotees who've been serving for a long time and things like that, Mataji. I don't know if I'm explaining right.
I got yours. If somebody has been in the movement for a long time and they still don't want to give the service. So, Mataji, it's like this. I remember my Guru Maharaj saying that, Radha Gopinath, the deities are on the first floor. Some people come, they come to the ashram, they have a shower, they walk up the stairs, they take a right turn, they go into the temple and they surrender to Radha Gopinath. Some people, doesn't matter how old they have been in Krishna consciousness, they'll for eternity be having a bath. For eternity be walking up the stairs. For eternity be thinking, I will take a right and they surrender to Krishna. But there are some people who are new, they'll turn, they'll take a bath, they'll walk upstairs, they take a right, they'll surrender to Krishna. So it is unfortunate that sometimes who have been in the movement for a very long time and still do not follow, do not give, do not are too possessive about their service. In true sense, they should not be possessive. What I said was more for a neophyte devotee, but somebody who has been in the movement for a long time, they should really be. But as you said, every temple will have some set of people who would be extremely possessive, who would not want to work as a team, who would not want others to share. Well, we have to just, there's nothing that we can really do in that sense, right? It should be going up to the higher level, administration should take over the whole thing. Because as devotees, we don't know, we can only tell the administration that this has been a concern. Because that is something that they have not worked on it for a long, even though they've been chanting for a long time. So that's very important that your chanting ground should be so good that you actually are feeling the anarthas. I may be chanting, for a long time, but if I don't go deep into chanting and really work hard on chanting better, my anarthas are not clear. I hope that helps, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Like you said, I don't think there's much we can do about it, but understand that we should not behave in that way.
And also, Mataji, I always think any person that comes in front of me is actually a testing for me. If somebody is too possessive, I also have several examples I can give from every temple I have been to. So where they will not give you their service and they'll be very possessive and they don't even want you to take make a discussion about it. They'll be really senior also. So one thing that I think is, in my situation, I'm only thinking about me in this situation. Of course, if I know that person very well and he's a very good friend of mine, and I can share, I will directly go share. What you're doing is wrong. You know, I have done this in the past. Somebody very close to me where I had the situation, I told him, what you're doing is wrong. You're holding on to it, but Krishna is not going to hold on to you. You do that. I can say that. But somebody I don't know very well, I can, because I don't have the rapport. But I will think that I should not have any bad feelings for that person in my head. Every time I see that person, I should not think, oh, look at her. She's so holding on to her services. That again, Keshi mentality in me. Krishna will send us through all these devotees. It's not their testing alone. It's our testing also. In different scenarios, he will send, where sometimes parents will come and say that whatever you're doing is absolutely trash. You will get tomatoes and garlands, both, for your service. So at that moment, you'll start thinking that, oh, this is my service to my Guru Maharaj. I have to try my best to take it. So our mentality should always be thinking that we have to be careful. We don't offend even in our head to anybody. And it's very difficult, not very easy. Not easy. I totally get your point. Sometimes it's so difficult.
I hope that helps,
Sukha Sagari Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Like you said, I think there's so many beautiful things and aspects of devotees we can perhaps dwell on than these small things and just move on, I guess. Thanks so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful class with so many lessons, Mataji. It was speaking directly to me, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. I just thought that I was speaking about myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Sukeshwari Mataji and Sukhasagari Mataji. Parima Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna Mataji, what a fabulous class. And really, you should be coming more often, Mataji. Just a humble request. You're a very, very seasoned speaker. And you give so many nice examples, Mataji. Thank you so much for this wonderful class. Mataji, I just had just a doubt. Sometimes you do utter a lie to save a situation, save two people from fighting. You know, if you told them the truth, there will be a huge explosion. I've faced this like many, many times. And so I have also lied many times. So I always had this doubt, you know, what do you do in this case? And at the same time, you cannot even keep your mouth shut because you are in such a position that you are supposed to speak and tell. So what do you say?
Yes, Mataji, you should lie if there is, you're going to save somebody. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, dishonesty, what we were talking about is, you know, like the person lied, right? When the cow went behind his, he didn't say the cow is behind my house.
I know.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's not that you have to be non-gentlemanly, I will only talk honesty and then cause concerns to everybody myself. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking more about use your judgment to tell the truth, hold the truth. You can hold the truth all the time. So, and in some cases, yes, you might have to lie because you want to get going, right? So, I mean, my parents are very against
it. It's a very tricky situation to decide, you know, sometimes. When what you should be doing, so
Mataji, the decision is whether it's going to be a Krishna conscious decision, whether Krishna is going to be pleased with you. Your action should be pleasing to Krishna. If I'm going to lie to satisfy my own ego, that's if I'm going to lie because something better or consequence of Krishna consciousness is going to happen, then yes. If suppose if two devotees are fighting and because of your one lie is going to help them resolve and they're going to continue the service, well, fine, that's different, right? Rather than you telling a lie just to save yourself. So, and even in some situations, you will have to save yourself because you can continue your service. You know, so many things. Like, I always lied in my beginning of my Krishna consciousness for 2 years when I used to go from college to my temple and all. I always never told my parents I was actually chanting as going to college, because the first time I told them, they said, you cannot go, you're not supposed to chant. So I never told them. All the time, for 2 years, I lied every single moment I went to temple. They never knew. So I'm so sure that they're not watching this live. but that lie is basically to make us more closer to Krishna, right? It's not about, I'm going to lie to my parents. I love my parents so much. But at that moment, I felt that it was so important for me to go to temple, for me to chant, which they didn't approve at that point of time. So, so it's okay, you know, because it's for the service of Krishna. Mm. But not on a random stage that I'm trying to, just for my sense, anything in Krishna consciousness, if it's for my sense gratification, my ego, it's a no. Anything for the service of Krishna is yes.
Thank you, Mata. What a wonderful answer, and you gave such a wonderful class, Mataji. We want to hear more of you, at least, Mataji. It's so nice to associate with you. Thank you so much, and Dandavat Pranams to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. All glories to my Guru Maharaj.
Okay, Mataji, I see some messages in the chat box. I'd like to read for you, Mataji. So, Parima Mataji gave, Parima Mataji written, fabulous, fabulous, fabulous class. Loved the basketball example and everything. You said you are a very seasoned speaker. One humble request is we should hear from you more often. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the nectarian class. Hare Krishna and Dhanvat pranams to you. Raj Prabhu, Hare Krishna, beautiful class. Thanks so much. I think Prahlad means... Laltangi Mataji, excellent class with so many wonderful practical examples. Thank you. And I see Mahindra's iPhone. Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Such a beautiful class with so many examples, so many lessons to learn. So these are some of the messages from devotees, Mataji. So yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for such a beautiful, beautiful class and very nice question answer session. Thank you so much. I really love the class, what you said, Mataji, today. But sometimes, you know, when I heard that, like, you, whatever we are doing, it seems like when somebody says, oh, okay, you are doing this, you are, like, you were telling, right, oh, I am giving a lot of classes. I am like this. Maybe that thought even not come, but when somebody speaks about it, oh, maybe I am a proud. Is this for me? I am like this. Like this kind of questions pops up in my mind, Mataji. I don't know how to. Before that, maybe I don't really have it. I feel like, okay, at least, you know, I have so many faults. At least Krishna is allowing me to do this particular service. Please allow me to do continuously. At least this one particular service that I am doing. Not that I'm thinking, oh, I am only able to do this particular service. So how do we control this kind of emotions when we hear the classes, Mataji? Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. I have a ready-made answer which my Guru Maharaj gave. One devotee asked my Guru Maharaj once that, Maharaj, how do we take it when people actually tell, you are so humble, Prabhu, you are so great, you are doing such a wonderful job. My Guru Maharaj said, somebody says you're very humble, think that Krishna is trying to tell you, you have to be humble. Somebody says you're a great speaker, think that Krishna is trying to say that you have to be a better speaker. So take it that way, Mataji. That way we will never feel puffed up at all, because it's very difficult. And so many people keep telling you're great, you're doing this. It's very difficult to, for our mind not to take it. But when you take it in this mode, then you become better, because you know that pride in you is actually going to kill the Bhakti Lata Beach at some point. If it keeps continuing, then it's going to be gone. Because when we sow the Bhakti Lata Beach, we pour the water, we chant, and it starts growing and goes to the Goloka Vrindavan. That is not going to be possible if we have all the weeds around, all the anarthas. And the weeds will drink all the water and dry up the Bhakti Lata Beach. So we have to be very careful. Yeah, so it's nice always to think that when somebody is telling me something, I have to think that I have to work on that more. I hope that answers me.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Sukeshwari Mataji. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful class, Mataji. And I also remember dishonesty. In that case, just I was remembering while you were talking with Sukeshwari Mataji. And Sukhsagari Mataji. And that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, I think Mukunda, yes, he's one time he was he saw the peacock feather. He the king was holding the peacock feather umbrella like that. Do you remember that pastime? I think Mataji. And then Mukunda was saying that no, I have a, and he fainted or something. Yes, Mataji. And then
Mataji, no, please go ahead, Mataji. I don't remember the first time.
Oh, okay. He Mukunda and Mukunda was he's a medical doctor. Yeah, you know he's in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. He's a medical doctor actually. And then that Hussein Shah or something, he's that Muslim king came. He was reading Bhagavatam at home, and then he said, "I am sick. I could not come in your place." And then king went. What happened to the doctor, Murari or Mukunda? I forgot the name actually. And then he was saying, "Oh, I'm sick." The king was holding the umbrella. That was it was in peacock feather, and he was fainted. And why you fainted? What happened to you? He was asking. King was asking to, and that medical doctor. No. I have something disease called some kind of disease. I fainted in the middle. You know, in that way he was actually thinking Krishna's peacock feather, and he fainted, but he was lying to that Muslim king. That was I'm remembering actually, Mataji.
Very nice.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sukeshwari Mataji. Please come often and give your association. Always very, very
I need fun. To take all of your association, Mataji. I am missing all the association. It's just yes, that I have taken up a couple services, and it's been so hard, but I really, really, really miss all your association. Seriously,
yes, Mataji, it's really very helpful. All the devotees were there, and now you should come, Mataji, often. I know that you are very busy doing a lot of stuff.
I will try my best, Mataji. I have to take your association. That's the reason I should come. Yeah, and I love this point. Yes, he lied, because of course, you know, people will not understand why he fainted thinking about Krishna. Yeah, very beautiful example.
Yes. Yeah, I heard in Gaur Govinda Maharaj's lecture, but yes. I may named a different, maybe Mukunda or Murari. Yes, Murari is
Murari Gupta. Yeah.
Murari Gupta or Mukunda. I forgot the name actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just remember the past time. And it's very necessary, Mataji, you should lie, because everybody is not favorable in Krishna consciousness, and so many places, so many times we need to, otherwise we cannot save our bhakti, you know. Yes.
Very true. To save our bhakti, you can lie.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Sukeshwari Mataji. What a class! I'm sorry, Sukeshwari Mataji.
Hari Bol, Lalita Mataji.
Wonderful class. In one line, it was like hearing Guru Maharaj's class.
It was oh, nice. This and his disciples' class that I was just giving. So that was perfect, Mataji. So I am just the postman.
No, Mataji, you're a perfect disciple of your Guru Maharaj, and all your classes like so wonderful. I remember how you took many verses from Bhagavad Gita a long time back when we were doing in Bhakti Sangha, and I don't have words. Such each and every line is filled with your experiences, and it's coming from your heart of practice for so many years. Thank you so much for your association.
Thank you, Lalita Mataji. I'm just trying to follow your footsteps. I seriously mean it. I know you know so much more about Shastra, and I probably know a tiny in this. You're just being kind to me.
Mataji, I'm just a cotyledon and you're a banyan tree. That's so wonderful. I mean, what services you're doing, amazing, Mataji. You're not only doing that, but involving everyone else also. So such a good thing, and I pray that you continue this, so that many, many souls and children will get benefited. This is my prayer, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lalita Mataji. I just want to thank everybody who sent a message. And all glories to my Guru Maharaj and Radhishyam Prabhu, whose class I actually directly replicated. So thank you all so much. All glories to them. Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Anybody have any realizations for Mataji? Or else we can end today's session.
Hare Krishna. Sukeshwari Mataji. This is Shyama Gauri. Nice to hear from you, Mataji. We are missing you, your classes.
Missing all of you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the call and giving wonderful class. You reminded me Radhesham Prabhu's class and Guru Maharaj's class. Very nice.
It's directly his their class only, Mataji. I was just reading.
Amazing, Mataji. Amazing words and nice. You know, you said we need to pray to Krishna before chanting that all this anartha should go. Then only we can chant all these demons. They remind us about our own anarthas. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you,
Mataji. Amazing class.
I was just saying that for myself, Mataji. So,
no, for all of us, especially for me.
When I read this, I was thinking, oh, wow, perfect story for me. Probably every story would have been perfect for me. That's a different thing. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Okay, thank you so much, Sukeshwari Mataji, once again for this very wonderful, fabulous class. So with this, I would like to pay my obeisances to you and all the devotees on the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyaye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti ki jai ramachari kunda haridas thakur ki jai shila prabhupad ki jai krishna katha mela ki jai har grace sukeshwari mata ji ki jai
the prabhupad ki jai
so much mataji
hare krishna all of you hare krishna thank you mataji
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji.